May I have your attention, please?
Bonsoir.
May I have your attention, please?
Broadcast.
Will the real weird sisters please stand up? We're gonna have a problem here. We're the weird sisters, we're the real weird sisters. All you other weird sisters are fine, but not the victors. Will the real weird sisters please stand up? Please stand up. Please stand up.
Hello and welcome to part two of the Real Weird Crossover. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
My name is Shandy.
My name is Alice.
And I'm Martha.
Welcome to
I mean, my name is Martha.
That's true. It's weird when we all do it that way. It feels too repetitive.
Welcome, everybody. This is season 5, episode something. We're flying by the seat of our pants here. We don't know what episode Amanda's going to have her baby a week ago for.
It's true. We literally don't know what day it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this could be episode 40, 41, 42. Yep. I don't think it's going to be 43. I'm sorry
69.
If it is, Amanda. Yeah.
You know, the only thing we know for certain is that I definitely won't know what day it is by the time this episode comes out. There'll be no way I'll know what day
this
it is.
This is true. You will be knee deep in poop and spit and throw up right
yep.
now.
I will have no idea what's going on. That there's probably a world outside my apartment, but I won't know of it.
Yeah. I'm going to believe you've already been peed on at this point.
Yeah.
You're making motherhood sound enticing.
Yeah. This is the joy.
It's all those little things in the beginning.
It's the little things.
You know, they're the funny stories that you bring back, to, you know, when the prom date comes over.
Exactly. I choose to believe Amanda's going to actually listen to the final cut of this episode while she's snuggling with her baby in the middle of the
aww.
Night.
Aw, how sweet.
Hi, baby, in case you're listening.
Hi.
Hello, Bambi.
What's up, Bambi? And now Amanda, future Amanda, has fallen asleep.
Yep. It'll keep running. I'll wake back up in like 10 minutes. It'll be fun.
And at some point, we're going to start laughing. And you're like, what? What did I miss? Ha ha ha, great joke, guys.
Who's laughing? Who's crying? Did anyone pee? What?
Right. Okay. Not me. Not one of my real life situations. Okay.
Why am I wet?
Well, that's going to be the question. Why are you
exactly.
wet?
You've got to run through the checklist of all the various things.
I had this moment the other day at my parents' house where I woke up in the guest room and was like, "Where am I right now?" And like I felt around and I was like, "I think I'm in my bed." No, I'm not. I think I'm at mom and dad's house. Okay. Is Jay here? Okay, Jay's here. I went through this process at like 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever time. I don't even know what time it was. But like I was so confused. I didn't know where I was or who was with me or anything like that. So anyway.
That's just called a good sleep.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I wake up and I don't know where I am or what time it is, that means I was sleeping real good.
You treasure those moments, Colleen.
Oh, God, I love those moments.
No, you treasure those moments, Amanda.
Yeah, I know.
It's the little things.
That's what I'm saying. It's not happening now, and it's not going to happen for a while.
That's why you gotta let your parents. Because my parents were here the first week after Zach was born, and they offered to watch him. Oh, maybe he was like 4 or 5 days old for just a couple of hours so I could take a nap. And I was so like hyped up and so like, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to relinquish control that I didn't take that nap. And damn. I regret that. Like to this day, that is one of the things like I regret. Not taking that nap, like you mean, like why couldn't I just close my eyes for 2 hours? It wasn't like you know anything was gonna happen. Like if he was hungry or something, they would have brought him up to me. And then I went downstairs and they were watching Megyn Kelly because she was still on Fox News at the time with him. And then I was like, oh, maybe it's a good thing that
this
I got up.
This is why I didn't take the nap.
If you had a time machine, you would go back to that day and
I would take that nap. Yeah. I mean, none the wiser about all the Megyn Kelly in my house.
You take a nap, but you would also like unsubscribe to cable before.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
No, just unplug the TV.
Oh, the TV's not working.
It's broken. It's broken.
We didn't have cable at the time. We had the Apple TV, and I think they just logged in through that. Yeah. But I think I would have just deleted the app.
Nice.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, but I think it was on there as a courtesy at the time. I was like, well, you're going to help us out here.
It's very nice of you.
Yeah, I
know. It's very big of you.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah. 2021 me would be like, nope. You know, yep. I don't think it's on either of my Apple TVs anyway right now.
Good for you.
You want to watch that shit at my house? You bring your laptop. Anyway. Anyway, Amanda, take the nap. That's all I'm saying. When they say, we'll watch your baby for an hour, take your nap, I regret it. Anyway, all right. So.
A life full of regret.
It's, you know, life is really about the naps you didn't take.
I know. Yes. The unfulfilled potential.
So deep. I think that's a Dumbledore quote, actually.
Yeah, you'll never forget the naps you took, but any nap you didn't take.
Wow. It's just got really deep.
Oh, my goodness. So anyway, housekeeping notes on the subject of Amanda's motherhood. There will be no new episode next week as you're hearing this, but stay tuned for announcements for whenever we do come back. We might be just doing that brunch still for Amanda's sake.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
Yeah. Champagne brunch, everybody.
Champagne brunch.
Stay tuned, though, to the Instagrams, the Facebooks, the social medias in general, and that's where we will announce it, because obviously everything is up in the air right now, and we have no idea. So
we have no idea.
Yeah. All right. So, ladies, do we want to just pick up where we left off, which was a little bit of feedback, or why don't we do the show a little bit out of order? We'll start with the feedback this time, and if we do have extra time at the end... I do have a couple of quick fun things for you to take us out on. So let's see how quick this gets. Let's see how how quickly
let's
we go.
Let's just see where the wind takes us.
Let's see if there's time to bake a quick bread.
A quick bread.
Or maybe we'll be baking. Hopefully we won't be baking a bread that has to rise. That would be a pretty long show.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I got a.
Well, you've got Duro.
Duro only makes things harder. It doesn't make them rise.
Right.
Well, that's how much you know.
I'm just saying what Duro does.
I mean, same
an experienced witch.
Risicus. all right. Our first bit of feedback comes from the Facebook group, and it is actually from Matt. And he says, while Bumby's gender is TBA, here is some potential reading. And he shares a link to an NPR article. A memoir offers advice on how to raise a feminist son. All right. So when Sanara Jha gave birth to her son, she was certain one thing: she wanted to raise him as a feminist. She was living in India at the time and working as a journalist. She ended up finding herself a single mom because she was divorced. So it's about her experiences raising her son as a single mother. And it has a practical to-do list, how to tackle some of the hardest conversations. And while she notes that race comes into discussion, she says it's universal. Feminist son means many things, including, she says, including, quote, a boy who believes in the full humanity of women and girls around him, who knows how to trust his mother's voice, her anger, her love, and then extend that to other women in society or other women around him. Feminism for boys also means feeling the whole spectrum of emotions, as well as recognizing that they can be led, men can be led by women. And then there's an interview with her, and I will link to this article in the show notes if you want to read the whole thing. But she talks about sexual abuse that she suffered, and how she talked about body autonomy with her son, the idea of masculinity and being vulnerable. I believe she said when he had a heartbreak, she basically, you know, told him, be vulnerable with your male friends too. It's healthier. See a therapist if you need to. My impression from reading the article, and I haven't read the book, obviously, because I only just read the article like 2 hours ago when Matt posted it. But a lot of it seems to be is like instinctual and fighting the instincts of the gender norms of how you've been told, like, you raise boys versus girls, or what you might assume you raise them, like, one way or another. And I guess, you know, maybe I'm not the best person to ask because I do a lot of this anyway, but that's just because I grew up with all sisters. So I honestly don't know how to, like, raise a traditional boy. And as we've talked about, like, on the show before, like, we do have conversations, and we, you know, we'll have them more one-on-one, Zach and I, for issues that come up. And he asks questions because we play a lot of, you know, the political podcasts in the car, or we'll talk, or Jay will listen to NPR in the morning when he's making breakfast. And Jay's our, you know, universal breakfast maker. So, like, they're exposed to the news, and they're not super sheltered from it or whatever. But, like, I will try to tie in some of the stuff that they hear there with, like, real life examples. I know I think I mentioned a month or so ago where Alex and Zachary were screaming at each other at 6:30 in the morning over whether or not Alex had ever been on a flight on an airplane. And I was like, I called Zachary in because I was like, I'm not getting out of bed for this, but I will call him into my room. And I explained to him, I was like, so you know how when we listen to, you know, the news or the podcast and they talk about people's lived experiences, like, first of all, A, you and Alex were both on an airplane a month ago. So maybe, I don't know, it's your lived experience too, dude. But, like, you know, it's you're telling Alex that he's a liar for something that he's telling you that he did. That you
sounds like an older sibling.
Right? I'm like, so, like, you're taking away from his lived experience. And, like, that's an example of it. Obviously, this is a very remedial example of it. But, like, you can't tell somebody that they're a liar when they're trying to tell you something about what they've done or how they feel. So we do try to tie in very basic ways that he might understand. And he does ask questions. Like, when Kamala Harris was sworn in as vice president and I cried, and we showed them after they got home from school, we showed them the videos, and, you know, he asked questions the next morning. Like, so he takes things in, and then he asks questions later, like, why, she's the first black woman, she's the first woman, like, surely a woman's been president, right? No. A white woman hasn't even been vice president? No. And we had to, like, you know, go through all of that and explain why that was actually, you know, made it so, I don't know, so made it even more poignant and important. And I don't know, I guess if he cries, sometimes we're like, dude, it's a splinter, stop crying, we're just gonna take it out. Other times, if something upsets him with, like, a friend, then we'll go through it, we'll talk it through. And I'm sorry, this was a very long answer to
Well, you're the expert here.
It's true. Yeah. You're the only one with any real life experience.
Martha and I both have sons as well. And
they are
Amanda,
cats,
you too.
However,
true.
Yeah.
But it's different.
I do my best to raise my cat as a feminist cat, but right. I do think Colleen's experience is a little bit more relevant.
Yeah. No, I have failed with my cat. My cat is not a feminist at all. So hopefully the human, I'll do better.
No, but Colleen, this is really interesting to hear from your perspective. I mean that.
We do our best to try to relate real life things that they experience, even if it's not a perfect correlation. I think it helps to build the foundations of being able to recognize it in the future. I remember a lot of times growing up, if there was something, I remember it would be presented to me in, like, well, how would you feel if somebody got a handout and didn't work for it? Don't you think that you would be upset because you put in the work? Like, I remember being asked questions like that in that way.
Very leading.
Yeah.
Leading question.
And I try to not do that. I mean, unless it's something, like, you know, blatantly, like, with Donald Trump or something, like, well, don't you think if somebody lies all the time and tries to break the law, they shouldn't be president anymore? Like, it's something like that. But we try to just lay out the situation and explain it that the best that we can. And maybe there are some times where it might just go over his head. But I'm fortunate that as of right now, he will It might not be for a week, but he will ask follow-up questions. The bad thing, though, is when he doesn't understand something, and then if he FaceTimes my parents in the morning, he'll, like, repeat it to them like it's verbatim, and I'll hear it, I'll be like, oh, no.
Well, we're going to have an ongoing discussion about that one. Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have to make sure that you go back and correct it to Grandma. Well, like, one of the big things is Zachary is very touchy-feely. And, you know, he likes to give hugs and he likes to snuggle. He's always been like that. And we're trying to work with him, like, when somebody says, please stop touching me, it means stop touching me. And we are trying to, like, work with that. He's like, I'm just trying to show love. And it's like, but if some, again, you could get in trouble for that. I think Jay the other day was like, you could go to jail for that. Stop it. And I'm like, all right, let's not skip to jail. We're not at scared straight level yet. He's six.
Right. Right.
We are just talking about hugs here.
Right.
There's a right time and a wrong time for hugs.
Exactly. So, yeah.
And you can hug your friends if you ask them and they say yes.
They say yes.
Yep. Exactly. Well, like, he'll...
There's a chain of events that need to happen for a successful hug.
Exactly. Yeah. We're just trying to, find the balance. Anyway, so that's my two cents on that. If anybody else wants to share their 2 cents or 3 cents or 4 cents or 5 cents, please feel free to
dollar. Go for it.
Go ahead. broadcasters3@gmail.com or 331-276-2373. I know Desiree raised a son, so she probably has a lot to say on this. I'd love to hear what Fallon is doing with her boys. Anybody else out there, let us know. Thank you, Matt. And then Matt also says, I'm sure you'll probably talk books, maybe recommending some fantasy series not written by TERFs. Shameless plug for the Broadcast Book Club. Also, with Bumby on the way, what books or other pop culture are you looking forward to sharing with your kid? I'm guessing Amanda. Colin can get on this too for stuff that Zach and Alex aren't old enough for yet. Oh, we're really bad at that. When my sister found out that they've seen all of the Jurassic Parks and World movies and Jumanjis and all of that, she was like, and they didn't get scared? And I was like, no. We watch it a lot.
Yeah, no, it's like, I remember we were watching like Monty Python and all sorts of things that were like really too advanced at too young of an age. I think
we weren't. We were like masterpiece classic theater all the way.
That's more like me and Martha.
Like, everyone's families develop their own sort of rhyme or reason, and it's like, you know.
Exactly.
But beware what happens at friends' houses. Because I know as a kid, like as like a second grader, I watched Arachnophobia, Scarred Me for Life, and also Chucky.
Saw Chucky at a friend's
house. Especially Arachnophobia.
Do you know what movie fucked me up as a kid at a sleepover? That Sleepaway Camp movie where they flush the person down the toilet to murder them.
I'm sorry, what?
That, like, the parody?
Is that real?
At least you know that actually, I don't think that could physically happen.
Yeah, right? But you know something? When you're in third grade, you don't.
Well, I remember being at like Girl Scout camp and somebody telling this story about like somebody sitting on the toilet and a snake was in the toilet from the pipes.
Oh,
I still think about those type of things sometimes.
I do too.
Outhouses especially.
Yeah.
I think about that sometimes on the city bus too. I feel like there was a story once where there was a snake on a bus.
Yeah. Story scared me enough. So I definitely couldn't have watched a movie of that.
Yeah. I feel like I've like snake eggs or something on public transportation.
Yeah, no, there was like a boa constrictor on like a New York City bus once.
Are
and
you
I'm
sure
like,
you don't nope. mean snakes on a plane, Amanda?
I know you would think. Oddly enough, don't have that fear on planes. It's really just the bus.
That very, very random, but it reminds me of our dad's favorite meme. Alice is in my dad's favorite meme he's ever seen,
exactly.
Which was a picture of snakes on a plane, but it had a bunch of different pictures of Alan Rickman instead of the snake.
No, it was literally just a picture of inside of a
Snapes
plane.
And it said Snapes on a plane.
And our dad thought that was hilarious.
That is really
funny. He shared it on Facebook. He was like, who would want that?
Well, that, but he had no idea that it was referencing snakes on a plane. He'd never heard of this.
He was like, oh, I just wouldn't want to get on a plane with a bunch of snakes on it.
Like, literally had zero idea like, what like, snakes on a plane was.
Early stages of Facebook, I feel, or like,
yeah, right, it was like, when he had, I was like in college.
10 or something. Yeah.
I felt so connected to him for a moment. And then when
he had never heard of the movie before.
He was just like, oh, I just, that was a scary thought. Get off the plane and see a bunch of Snapes.
I kind of want to rewatch that movie now. I saw that movie with Joe Matero, Amanda.
Oh, see, I can't watch that movie. Snakes are like the one thing that really, really scare me. Snakes and ghosts.
Snakes.
I'm a little scared of ghosts.
What about the ghost of a snake?
Oh, God, that's unthinkable.
A ghost of a snake in a toilet.
Oh, my God. No. Not that I'm sleeping that well these days anyways, but now I'm really not sleeping. You know how many times I get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night? Oh, this is going to be a bad night, guys.
So, Amanda, I'm sorry. They have these. So we read in my office one day, this happened in India, where, like, the snake came out of the plumbing and bit the dude's, like, balls. And, yeah. So, and
but it's true, like really actual true story.
No, it was an actual true story. So my coworker had always been terrified of that happening to her in the middle of the night. So for her birthday one year, we actually bought her the lights that you put on the inside of your toilet that light it up. So if you have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you can see.
Yeah, you can make sure there are no snakes. For me, it's really just, it's more the spiders and like the spiders coming out of the shower head. Mm-hmm.
I agree,
Shandy. They serve a valuable and important function.
They do, but I mean, arachnophobia, man. That movie is just terrifying. Also, in my basement in high school, there were brown recluse spiders.
Oh,
and my room was in the basement, and that was not great.
Okay,
Oh,
okay.
No.
Valid.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we don't have creepy giant spiders in suburban Connecticut.
But Shandy, they serve a purpose, Shandy.
What purpose do those ones serve?
No, they
to be terrifying. I mean, let's agree.
To like,
scare you out of your wit.
I hate spiders too, but snakes are worse. I agree with Amanda.
Yeah.
I'm team Shandy.
Well, theoretically, one could eat you.
Yes, I feel like you guys have had this debate. Like, yes.
Well, the debate is, would you rather have Aragog or Nagini in your bed?
Ooh.
Oh. Well, which Nagini are we talking about?
And that's an unanswerable question. It's an unanswerable.
Well, you have to answer it though. That's what makes it fun.
You and the dilemma is we say that also you're not going to get killed, like, because I think people are going to say like, well, Nagini is like more likely to kill you. Well,
right.
Yeah.
It's more like, would you rather be right next to a giant spider or right next to a giant snake?
Right. It's
spider.
Not about the characters' personalities.
I'd rather be next to the spider.
If either one's going to kill me, I'll take the snake.
Me too, Shandy.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding.
Aragog is so much bigger. Like, I don't think Aragog would fit in the bed with you.
And so many more legs.
It's a California king, Amanda.
Yeah, but it's more just, it's not necessarily about the bed part. It's just more about, like, your.
Which one
do you want to snuggle up with?
Yeah.
All the more arms to hug you.
No.
And Aragog's kind of soft.
Sure. He's fuzzy.
Speaking of soft.
What's she eating?
Just help yourself.
You're
I guess
also?
I'm done with the chips.
Yeah, Captain.
I hope
Captain
she can handle
to do that too.
No, the salt
Captain's
is,
like, oh, I'm sorry. Were you not? Oh, okay. Were you not done? Okay.
So, Amanda, getting back to the original question, what books or other pop culture are you looking forward to sharing with Bumby?
See, that's really hard. I think, well, first of all, we got a really great library going. I think thanks in large part to a lot of our listeners have sent us some really, really great books. But so I'm pretty excited to start reading. But yeah, it's funny. I feel like Daniel and I talk about it all the time. But now that I'm like on the spot, I can't think of any of the things.
Welcome to my life as a librarian, because it's always like, what book do you recommend? And then I forget every book I've ever read. Yeah. So I definitely have to look at lists a lot to trigger my memory, because when you get put on the spot, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've been watching old episodes of The Muppet Show on Disney Plus. So I think a lot of Muppet things, you know, I think the Muppet movie, I'm pretty excited for like that stuff. And then I think a lot of like holiday things, you know, it's like mm-hmm. we do a lot of those ritualistic movies, you know, like a Muppet's Christmas Carol yeah. and A Christmas Story and that kind of stuff I'm pretty excited about. And then just like, just the idea of like then making your own
yeah.
family traditions mm-hmm. outside of like the ones you grew up with, because it's like we're both kind of bringing our own separate things mm-hmm. into our new little family unit. So I'm kind of just excited to see what kind of
yeah.
things happen organically.
Yeah. And they will. I mean, it's, yeah, it's fun.
Just knowing a little bit about like children's literature, I will say that like a lot of times I think people are drawn to remembering like the great children's literature that we had as kids, but there's so much more amazing yeah. new stuff. Like,
yes,
it's so much more diverse than it ever used to be. There's just in general, so much more of all different kinds of media. Like there's yeah. billions of picture books compared with when we were kids. I feel like, I mean, there were a lot, but I think if you just compared the number that they exist, there's just so many more now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. No, for sure. There's like all these great like social justice books that we've received. There's this one that's like the history of pop music that like I'm pretty excited to open cool. that one and see what that one's about.
Yeah.
I hear the Pout Fish is really good. We got that one on the shelf. We got the Don't Let the Pigeons Drive the Bus.
All the Williams books are so great.
I'm excited about that one.
But those are definitely like preschool age or you know, like 4-ish years old because they're interactive.
Yeah.
And they're good for their big text. So they're good to like, you know, read along with the words too.
Yeah.
We're really into, and I can't remember the name of the author, but it's like the Iggy Peck Architect, which Ro had gotten Zachary. And then there's Rosie Perez. No. Something engineer, something.
Like Rosie Perez, like the actress?
No.
Oh, I was like, I didn't know she wrote children's books. That's exciting.
So it's like, it's Iggy Peck's the architect. There's an engineer. There's Sophia Valdez for Perez and another one. Because we found the rest of the series at Costco. So we let Zach pick one book every like 2 weeks to complete the series. Because he did need a book refresher. Like a lot of his books were like, he had outgrown them. But yeah, those are really fun too. They just, you know, in a higher age level. We're a big fan of the Little Blue Truck books.
Nice.
Zach and Alex's age rather. But yeah, cool. Sorry. I didn't mean to hijack this.
No, this is good.
If you ever want to have a question about books.
Well, that's the great thing. It's like, I love that like our network just has like so many people that are very well versed in what's going on in children's literature right now. So yeah. I feel like
definitely, you know,
we've got a lot of good people to call upon for suggestions.
Yeah, definitely great. Talk to Alice and Ro and Maggie, because I'm sure.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. And now, oh, it's time for That's What She Said.
Hooray.
Hooray. So let's do divvy numbers real quick. Generally, Shandy is 1, Amanda is 2, I'm 3. Alice, do you want to be 4 and Martha 5?
Well, Martha, you like being number 5.
Right? I actually like even numbers better than odd numbers, Alice.
Sure, then you go ahead and be 4.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was a little reverse psychology, I think.
I like 5 better than 4.
All right, well then, let's do it.
Worked out then.
All right, I feel a lot more prepared.
We really got to do this.
You fill out the form and you state your case for why you want to get it.
I'll do it. I'll take it.
I wonder if Frank could do that.
The answer is yes. Not everybody in this line is going to get it.
Mm. Everyone needs to get this at some point.
It came with extra filling.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Both of you virtually first.
I'm so glad that you pushed John to take them off the internet.
I still am. We were talking about the old Tribe episodes where I was very glad that Shandy, you know, pushed John to take them down because.
There it is.
Yeah. Full of fun, but also full of problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would try to get three people together.
Well, try to respect your time. Start at 9 and end at a reasonable time so we can all go to bed early.
I've heard that one before.
We all have.
Like 2 hours ago? Yeah. Right. I missed my goal by 6 minutes.
I only put this poll out an hour ago, so at least people responded.
We're hoping to get a big crowd next week.
There were a couple of times we were like, should I wait? And we're like, nah, just go for it.
Patrons, that's just for you.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. And I'm glad that we were able to do it with Martha and Alice. Thank you, guys. All right.
Some of those were a stretch.
I know. You know, some of them... Oh,
that's for next week's.
I was just gonna say, yeah. Okay. I was gonna make a Duro joke, but I didn't have it in time. So let's just move on. Moving on, we are gonna pick up where we left off with Olivia's wonderful questions last week. The next one is, what are you currently reading?
Well, I'm still making my way through Obama's latest book, very slowly. Oh, but surely.
That one,
it's very long.
I only got through that one quickly because I had it on audio from the library and it was going to automatically turn in. So I powered through that thing in 2 weeks and that was tough to do.
Me too. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Just so that Alice doesn't get to only be the one bragging about it.
I did it first, though.
I'm still at page like 260.
If you do the audiobook, you get to hear Obama do an Angela Merkel impression.
Oh my God, that's probably pretty fantastic.
Obama reads the audiobook and does an Angela Merkel impression?
Yes, and an Emmanuel Macron impression.
Oh my God, I love this. So, I love this.
I have this image in my head of, or video, or not video, like, you know, a moment in my head imagined of him going into the recording studio. It's a 30-hour audiobook, him sitting down to record, coming out of the recording studio, and Michelle's like, did you do the accent? She's like, you didn't do the accent, did you? And he's like, I did the accent.
I did the accent.
Pretty good.
The best part of listening to that book is just picturing him recording it. It was so funny to picture him in the studio.
Then he went and started a podcast. So apparently
he loved it.
Just got that taste.
Look, if there's anything that both sides can agree on, it's that Barack Obama likes to talk.
He loves the sound of his own voice too.
He is verbose.
I mean, I don't blame him. The things he has to say are intelligent.
That book is the first part of like what's going to probably be like. Well, no, I think it's going to be more because it only gets partway through 2011.
Oh, my God.
There's no way he'll wrap up the rest of his tenure in one other book.
Yeah.
It's going to be a series. I'm envisioning like a sort of Bridgerton kind of thing. Maybe like one book for each year he's in office.
He does very specific memories of like interactions, and my favorite was not to spoil, it's not a spoiler at all, but he had a description of heard the results of a special election. I don't remember which state it was, and he stood up, stamped his feet, stamped his foot, and groaned or something. I was like, I don't think you did exactly that. With all due respect, I don't think that's exactly how it happened.
Okay, so wait, hold on. Speaking of, former House Speaker, Republican John Boehner, he released his book this week. And did anybody see the quote going around online about Ted Cruz? So
no,
essentially,
I try to avoid anything that has Ted Cruz in it.
Okay, so
or John Boehner.
Yes,
so essentially, he said something like, "Have you ever, you know, those people who like a reckless asshole who thinks you're? Hold on. I gotta find the exact quote because I know it, but I don't know it exactly. Hold on. Okay. Sorry. Just give me a second. It's gonna be worth it. I swear to God. I promise. He fucking hates him, though. I mean, hates him.
I guess that's one point.
Don't most people hate Ted Cruz? Does anyone actually enjoy Ted Cruz?
Like literally, like his like friends or like his co-conspirators don't even like him.
No, they don't. Even his friends were like, "Hey, see these texts about going to Cancun?" Okay, so he wrote. There is nothing more dangerous than a reckless asshole who thinks he is smarter than everyone else. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Senator Ted Cruz.
Wait, are you telling me that Ted Cruz actually thinks he's smarter than everyone else?
According to
that actually kind of surprised me.
But when he was recording the audiobook, he actually went off script and he adds, "Oh, and Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself."
P.S. Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Wow.
And the audio is
no love lost there.
No
huh?
love lost. And it's kind of great.
Wow.
These are kind of like, remember when we were like Liz Cheney versus Matt Gaetz and Donald Trump? Who do we want to win? Like, we don't want to root for a Cheney, but we do want her to win. And then the Matt Gaetz stuff came out and everybody was like, "Well, Liz Cheney is flicking a marble out in the dust and being like, puh, child's play." I feel like on this, I'm generally going to automatically be on the side that's against Ted Cruz.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good place to start from.
Anyway, how did we get on?
The books
what books are we currently reading? Yeah.
Oh, currently reading. I am still reading the Little Fires Everywhere book from last year that Alice and Martha. Alice, I think you suggested that we read, so I bought it right away, and I'm still reading it.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry I led you into that pit. Are you enjoying it, or are you just busy, or are you not really enjoying it?
No, I'm not a good reader anymore. I've actually been doing like geocache puzzles on my downtime and Sudoku and whatnot. So like, I would love to. I just need to do it. Like, I need to. You know what I need to do? What always got me in a reading mode would be a long plane flight where I would read on the plane and then I would be like, get into it and I read a couple of books. Mm. But I haven't done that in a year. So,
I get that. I usually listen to audiobooks when I'm having trouble focusing on a book. Yeah, because that actually makes me like, you know, it just moves you forward, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Although, but then it's like, I need the visual too.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know. Some books are easier to do that with than others.
Yes. Yeah.
The young dyslexic kid in me used to get the audiobook and the physical book and do both together.
That can be a really good way to experience a book, to have
it's
both. I did that with The New Jim Crow, and that was like very,
that's really helped
me understand that. Yeah. But Alice and I are both big proponents of audiobooks. The audiobook I'm listening to right now, I think I'll be finished by the time this comes out, is the book Being Mortal, which is a nonfiction book, Medicine and What Matters in the End. It's by Atul Gawande. It is so good. It is like mind-blowing. It's about sort of like end-of-life care. It goes through like the history of assisted living communities, the like sort of evolution of hospice care and like what that means to different people and like perceptions of that. It is so good. And he's a surgeon who kind of talks about how when he was in medical school, like never like taking care of people at the end of their life was never really talked about. It was basically just like, how do we continue to keep people alive when, you know, all humans die? Like that's part of life. So it's just, it's such a good book. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah. Nice. What got you interested in that book in the first place?
Well, my college roommate, she was pre-med at the time. She's going to be going to med school in the next couple of years. So she read it in college and like loved it. She volunteered at a hospice facility and she read it. And I was like, I'm not interested in that. That sounds like too dry and like sounds like a medical journal.
Yeah.
And then Alice's and my grandfather passed away a little while ago, and it kind of I saw that that book was available on our audiobooks app that we use, and I was like, that kind of seems like something interesting to read right now, and I just started reading it, and I listened to it almost all of it in one sitting. I have just a little bit left now, and it's he's such a profound writer, and he's just so thoughtful and personable in the way he writes. So it's really making a big impact on me. I really love this book.
Oh wow. If you want,
yeah, I'm sold. I want to read it now.
Yeah, no, it's so good.
It was sort of a bestseller, it was a bestseller like maybe 6 years ago or
it was
so.
2014 is when it was published.
If you want to send me the link, I can put it in the show notes for anybody else that wants to check it out.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's written in a way, I haven't read it, but just from what I've heard about it, like it kind of appeals to people who aren't necessarily in the medical field.
Not at all.
You know, it's kind of written for a pretty general audience.
Yeah. It's not that long either. I mean, the audiobook I think is 9 hours. So that's about an average, 300, 400 page book, I think.
Cool. I have that. You guys recommended this book, Simply Devious.
Truly Devious.
Truly Devious. Sorry. And I got that from Jessica as a patron Secret Santa gift.
Oh, nice.
Really, I need now to that, read it. It
looks that like one is a pretty easy read. That's another trick I have if I'm not in a reading mode is just pick up something that you actually are really psyched to read that's like a page turner.
Yeah.
And then that'll get you into it.
Yeah.
So that one might be a good one for that just because it's a YA, so it's pretty like
YA books. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, what I'm reading right now is this mystery called A Good Idea, and it's a YA book. And I like it so far, but I'm only maybe 60 pages in or so.
Cool.
So that's my answer to Olivia's question.
Nice. Back to that.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. I'm still making my way through Jane Eyre. I'm in the last 50 pages.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
That's a book I've never finished because I've started it 5 times.
Yeah. Same. I never really read it. And I picked it up at a book swap years ago. And I'm sort of I've been reading a lot of parenting books and pregnancy books. And it's sometimes you're I just need to read a story to break it all up. And it was I'm definitely not going to have the brain capacity to handle this book post baby. So I'm going to do it now. So
yeah, that's good.
Trying to get through it so that cause I know if I don't finish it in the next week, I'm not going to. So.
Okay. Next question. What is something you have done this year to become more environmentally conscious?
So living in Montana, we don't have citywide curbside recycling.
Really?
And we've always recycled, but we have to, take it in to whatever drop bins they have wherever. But we got curbside recycling through a private company. So that makes our recycling better. We were good. We always did recycle stuff, but they recycle more stuff than the drop boxes took. And it just keeps us a lot more on top of it. So that's been probably my biggest change.
That's awesome. Nice. That's good.
Yeah. Sad to hear that Montana doesn't have any curbside recycling from the cities.
I know. That was always so frustrating. And every time I go back now, because it's just so normal here. Although, honestly, most of what we put in the recycle bin probably doesn't actually get recycled anyway, if we're being real.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But at least we have the bins. And so it's sort of jarring now to go back. And you're like, where do I put the glass? Oh, right. In the trash.
We had a list of things to do in 2020. And we actually checked most of them off. There were only a couple that we didn't do. So we were doing water bottles from Costco. So we're on well water. So it was too much money it was tens of thousands of dollars to put a filtration system in the whole house to make the well water drinkable. It's okay to rinse your mouth out when you're brushing your teeth or whatever, but that's about it. So we wanted to eliminate the water bottles that we were using. I wanted to eliminate my K-cup use because I have a Keurig. And there were a couple of other things. We wanted to, compost, and a couple other things.
Yep, big fan of composting.
So we ended up doing we do Crystal Springs water that we have delivered. So we do the jugs every 2 weeks. And that has served as our, like, you know, tap water. We only use the waters if the kids are going somewhere, like if they had soccer shots and they needed something quick fix. We use that or if we're doing a long car trip, not that we've done a long car trip very often in 2020, but so we eliminated a lot of our water bottle use. I switched over to the reusable little cups that you put the ground coffee into for the K-cups. I forget the other things that we wanted to do. We did them. I can't remember, of course, now. And then the only thing that we haven't done is with the composting. Jay found a service, and I just never ended up completely following through on it. And I do need to do that, especially because, you know, we've eaten so much more at home, so we have so much more waste and whatnot. So that would be the one thing on the 2021 list that we need to keep up with. But
yeah,
we have been trying to make less of a footprint. We go on Marketplace first before we want to buy something to see if there's anything there, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing with composting. It is, you know, we're sort of lucky in the fact that, like, New York City has a very robust farmer's market system where they'll, like, take it for you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, composting can be a real investment and can be tricky to get started when you don't have those, you know, that availability.
Yeah.
I've been using a lot of reusable bags too, like the little, like, silicone sandwich bags. I use those. I did the beeswax.
The beeswax wraps.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Those are pretty great. I used them a little too much. They didn't last as long as I was hoping they would.
Oh, sad.
But maybe it might have been the brand. I think I might have to try a different brand.
They are kind of expensive, but they
pay. There's that too. And we bought
My roommate has some, so I haven't bought my own.
Yeah. So, and produce bags was a big one for us, because that was a big plastic that we were doing, because it's like when we go grocery shopping, that's primarily what we're buying is produce. And that was So it's like, and that was a great investment. It's like, I bought a whole huge set on Amazon and we throw them in the wash.
About that. Yeah.
So
that was the best thing. And they're reusable produce bags. They're just like little mesh white bags. I have a couple of different sizes and we just throw them in with our shopping bags when we go grocery shopping.
Oh, I didn't know those existed. That's awesome.
They're really nice.
I got them the first time because my mom always makes us our Christmas presents and, like, does a set for all of the kids, like all six of us and our spouses. And one year it was like a grocery bag, and within it she had made like three of those.
Oh, that's great.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen it. And it was so awesome. And then I saw them on sale being sold at Whole Foods like a couple of years later. And I was like, mom was onto this.
Yeah, I'll have to.
Head of her time.
Mm-hmm. Be on the lookout for that. We do the reusable bags too. It was weird because with COVID, when it first started, remember how most stores were like, please leave your reusable bags at home, because they thought it was services. And we had this moment like a month into it. I was like, oh my God, we have so many plastic bags again. I forgot what this was like.
I started doing grocery pickup. And that's the bad thing about grocery pickup is that it's all these now I have all these bags again. And that I wasn't having before because I just started doing the grocery pickup a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yep. And takeout too. It's like takeout.
Yeah, I know. I've been worse about like our plastic waste just because of like the COVID concerns, and then also all the takeout. And I feel like every time, what I want to figure out is a good place to donate like plastic utensils that come in a little packet with a napkin and a salt and pepper. Like I don't need a single one of those ever. And I
click the little thing.
Yeah.
Give them to me, and they give them to anybody.
Exactly. Right.
And I'm super frustrated. We have a huge drawer filled with them. And I'm like, never in a million years are we going to use all of these. Like, I never use these ever.
Yeah.
So I need to figure out somewhere that would take them. Like, so I don't.
Sometime when you have like a birthday party that you do like in a park.
Yeah.
Bring all of those.
Well, the other thing I was wondering if like maybe homeless shelters or something might want them, or like a preschool or something, like just to use as supplies, you know, for like in a group setting. But I don't know.
Just to answer Olivia's question for me, one thing I'm pretty proud of myself for over a year now, I have not eaten beef at all. So I've completely cut beef out of my diet, which has been a lot easier for me, that I think, than it is for some, because I was not a big beef eater before. But I was vegetarian for a little while, and I kind of feel like I could eventually go back to that. But I don't eat beef at all. And that's like my one thing that I'm very strict about. So that's my like environmental conscious change for the year, I guess.
Right.
That's really great. We've reduced beef primarily, like, first for health reasons, and then like with the side benefit of like environmental reasons. We haven't like 100% cut it out, but I certainly wouldn't be opposed. And even like other meats, like, we're trying to be more mindful of portions, and like, you don't always need to eat meat.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you never need to eat meat, but like you can do a meal without a whole meal without meat. Like,
meatless. Yeah. I probably do like chicken or fish, like, two nights a week, if that, and then pretty much not meat the rest
of the night. We do a lot of chicken. 2 years ago, Jay's, or 3 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, Jay's New Year's resolution was to eat less red meat, because he realized he was eating so much of it. And we just changed our lifestyle, and we eat a lot more chicken, meat, salmon. But we do red meat every so often, but it wrecks Jay's stomach, so we don't do it as much.
Right. You've stopped eating it, it's like hard to go back.
We found that they have the Impossible Patties and the Beyond Beef Patties.
I think those are good.
Yeah, at Wegmans. So we've actually, within the last few weeks, started kind of just making Impossible Burgers once a week, just to change it up a little bit.
I think they're really good.
That legume life.
Yeah. So, okay.
Nice. This isn't actually like something really for the planet, but our neighbors have chickens. And so we always, first of all, like, even when we got a shit ton of extra bags during like the beginning days of COVID, we always get paper. So at least like, it's not plastic. I love them for cat litter, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I use them for too.
Yeah. But then we also use them like when Frank, because let's be real, it's mostly him, cooks like all of the, you know, all of the stuff from the vegetables and like all of the peelings and stuff. He'll put, even for like a couple of days, in the bag, and then we take it to the chickens, and it's kind of composting in a way.
Oh, that's great. That's the essentially the idea of composting. It's giving something a second life.
Yeah.
I would love to be in a position to have chickens. I have friends that also, like, they have, like, a chicken coop.
Dude. They have a great chicken coop. It's right next door. And, like, six chickens. And they actually – this is the family with the girl who watches our cats, or has the last couple of times that we've been out of town. She made us a little card and, like, brought us a little basket of eggs for Easter.
Nice.
Nothing so good as like fresh.
Yeah, fresh eggs, and
you keep them on the. You don't have to refrigerate them.
You keep them.
You keep them in a bowl.
Yep.
On your countertop. Right. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's awesome. All right, moving on to the next question. Have you watched Worn Stories on Netflix? I have never even heard of it until right now.
I have. Same.
I think I got an ad for it. The trailer has like two old naked people in a like a carpet. Yeah.
Is that the thing? When I first read this question, I was like, I've never heard of it before. And then a couple of days ago, I was like trying to figure out to watch on Netflix. I didn't want anything too heavy, and it was on Netflix. And because of this question, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll watch an episode. And it's a series about clothes, and so there's all these different things about clothes. So yes, the first episode has people who don't really wear clothes, and so there's like nudist, but then there are also like other stories with clothes. So it's all stories about clothes and how they make you feel and your associations with them. And, you know, anyway, I've watched just the one episode, so that's all I know. But
interesting. Haven't even heard of it. So
I will check it out. This sounds interesting. Okay. And the next question, what superhero movie do you want to come out next, if any at all? I love all the superhero movies, so the Marvel ones at least. I'm down with whatever. I'm really excited for the, I've been enjoying the Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Netflix, and I'm super excited for the Loki one to come out, because I think.
Yeah, the Disney Loki Plus trailer was really good.
Yeah, the Loki trailer was definitely really good. And Owen Wilson with a fake nose.
I thought that's his real nose.
Oh, that's his real nose? Owen Wilson without crooked. A Photoshop nose. Good for
him. His real nose is very crooked.
Anyway, Owen Wilson's in it, and I don't know. Yeah, it looks really good. I'm excited for it.
But you like the Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Because that trailer is not good.
No, it's not.
Did not want to watch that from the trailer.
It's slow. The first episode is slow, but I also thought the first few episodes of WandaVision were slow. But it does pick up, and the story, you're getting more characters now from the extended universe brought into it, as we're recording this, at least. And I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait for next week's episode, but I'm really excited for the Loki one. And I'm actually really excited for the new Thor movie that's going to come out and the new Spider-Man one.
I didn't realize they were making another Thor movie.
They are, and it's going to have a very rowdy cast, from my understanding. It's going to be really great. I'm really excited about it. I'm thinking it's Guardians of the Galaxy with Thor in it.
Ah, that makes more sense.
That makes more sense, Colleen, you silly girl. So,
right, because I thought, don't they do like movies in threes?
Something like that.
And I feel like they already made three Thor movies.
Yeah, but the second one sucked, so it didn't count.
Yeah, I've only seen the last one, which I thought was great. Ragnarok
was awesome. No, I think they are making a new Thor movie because Natalie Portman is back.
Interesting.
And there's been like pictures of her on set. Anyway, whatever. I'm looking forward to all of them. That's my answer. The end. Anybody else?
I was going to say, I don't watch that many superhero movies. I would love to watch another similar to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That was really fun for me. That was like the superhero movie I've seen most recently that I really enjoyed. So if they are doing something, a sequel to that or something else to that effect, I loved the animation in that movie. I don't know if that's coming out, but I would love to watch it.
Well, I believe they're probably going to bring the multiverse into the next Spider-Man movie.
Will it be animated though?
No. It will be. Yeah,
because that's, I loved the animation in that movie. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, it's Into the Spider-Verse is a great movie.
Yeah.
And then final question, what is something cute your kids or pets have done in the last week? I feel like I've given a lot of stories.
How long do you have?
Yeah, go ahead.
William makes the cutest noises when he sleeps. It's not a recent thing, but whenever he's asleep and it's like in a deep sleep, he makes these like grunting, sighing sounds. It's like I can tell he's having a very deep sleep. So I love hearing him do those noises.
Fiona and Gabby do too, but in two very distinctly different ways.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Gabby or Fiona kind of snores.
Oh, yeah, William sometimes has like a deep breath where it's kind of like.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of just like one story. I don't know. It's tough. I tell half of Martha's and my texting is just like telling each other things that our cats just did.
Aww.
So what have I told you?
Bad pictures. Amber sat on your lap while we podcasted the other day.
Yeah, that's true. She normally never... She loves to sit on my lap, like on the couch, but if I'm podcasting or like sitting at a desk or the table, she does not sit on my lap. So she did sit on my lap though, and that was pretty amazing. Another kind of funny one is we have a new piano, and it is really tall, and Rob loves to sit up there and just like survey the room. And he also stands on the top of it and can touch the ceiling when he's standing on the top of the piano.
Oh,
wow. So tall piano.
Yeah, it's pretty tall. It is. Not the piano you see in my background. We have two pianos now.
Wow. Ooh. Fancy.
That's pretty special.
Yeah. Awesome, he's been enjoying the new piano.
That's cute.
Awesome.
As we were podcasting, Gabby was in the kitchen right behind the computer opening the cupboards and then trying to it's still open actually. And then she was trying to open the dishwasher. which I've never seen her do before. She did not succeed, but
well, it was thank so God. Odd. Yeah.
Yes.
She sounds smart.
She is smart. We've had like these moments with her where it's like, is she really smart or is she really dumb?
And it kind of why not both?
Well, maybe yes, in different ways. Yeah,
it's like it's a circle where like yes. where the two ends connect.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the same with Captain. Yeah,
yeah. I think she's really smart and just like also really goofy.
Aw,
that's a cute combo.
Yeah,
yeah, it is, cool. And a little bit neurotic and shaving herself.
Oh, poor thing.
And that's not great.
Aw, well, thank you so much, Olivia. These questions were awesome. You should send us more questions more often.
Yes, please.
I'm not that you're coming for JP's crown with the questions game, but
that's true. JP has not sent us any questions in a long time.
Oh, you're right. And this was a series of 10 all at once. Like, just saying.
Mm-hmm. And they'll come get your crown.
Yeah, come get your crown.
I pressured her. I was like, Olivia, we need you. We need listener feedback. She's like, okay, I'll send something.
And she did great. Thank you.
And she really came through.
You came through. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Olivia.
The MVP.
And then the next set of questions come from the Royal Weird Sisters Facebook group. The first one is from Carly. What are your astrology signs and do you identify with them? How do they compare to your Hogwarts houses?
This is fun.
Oh.
I'm a Gemini. I don't necessarily relate to it super strongly. I don't know that much about astrology. My students say that sometimes my Gemini does come out when I'm manipulative to them, apparently. Like when I'm like, oh, you didn't miss me over the break, like that kind of thing, like that kind of joke. They're like, oh, the Gemini popped out. But I don't know. I don't think that that's necessarily super Gryffindor. But yeah, I just don't. I'm not an expert in astrology the way some people are.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I'm a Taurus. And I also don't know that much about it. But I think kind of like from my understanding of Taurus, it's kind of like would be more of like a Gryffindor house.
Hmm.
Do people know anything about Taurus on here?
No.
Kind of like you're supposedly really stubborn, kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, but you're also like very kind-hearted and generous,
I think. That makes sense.
Well, like Tauruses are actually pretty balanced, I think. That like they're stubborn, but then they also have, they're also very, they have more positive than not, I believe.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good to know. I have never like strongly related with Taurus, but my husband Paul is also a Taurus, and just one of our funny stories with it is that one time, I guess his old principal said to him like, "Oh, you're a Taurus," when she found that out, and she was like, and then he said, "Yeah, so is my wife," and she was like, "Oh, how does that work?"
Pretty well.
So far, it hasn't too much affected us.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything about astrology either, but I'm a Pisces. And I mean, that's the only sign that I know anything about. And I would say, even though I'm not like an astrology buff or have never really been like super into it like a lot of people are, I still like very much identify with Pisces because I Googled like the characteristics just to make sure, but it's like it's very much me. Artistic. I'm not really artistic, but I would like to like maybe one day be artistic. But it's like intuition and compassion, which hopefully I have some of. Weaknesses is being overly trusting, which is like 100%. There was a story that came out in our weekly newspaper that's published. It's a weekly that comes out on Thursdays. This last Thursday was April 1st. I did not put the two and two together. The front page story is about the end of Highway 1 as we know it. How they obtained like this confidential report that they're not going to be repairing Highway 1 anymore because it's literally falling into the ocean. And it's true. It's like very expensive. And I 100% believed it. And only found out that it was not a true story when I went to like look it up online so that I could post it
onto my social media. There you go. That ties us back.
That's very gullible of you.
That brings us back to last week.
I know that you are very gullible from firsthand experience.
Yes, I was going to say, yeah, I think the overly trusting definitely fits. I'm glad that you're self-aware.
I can't remember when in college I totally like tricked you with something, but there was definitely a time. And I just can picture your face when you find out a piece of information that's like startling or like surprising to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just when you were then told it wasn't true, it's so funny.
Yeah. Yes.
Very gullible. Yeah. And then also on this list, Pisces likes, and the number one thing is being alone.
Okay.
Yes.
Amanda, what about you?
I am a Cancer. And I think that is pretty accurate. They're very sensitive and kind of moody. And I think they're also really like compassionate. I don't know. But yeah, they're mostly moody and emotional. And I feel like that tracks.
Wait, hold on. Shandy, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask. So both of you, I forgot to ask. Hogwarts house, how does this relate to what you're...
That's the funny thing is like it 100% does not.
No, I feel like that would be Hufflepuff more closely for Pisces.
Yeah.
I actually don't know what my Hogwarts house is, but I would imagine I'm probably Hufflepuff, so I suppose that probably tracks too.
For Cancer, yeah, I don't know if Cancer and Hufflepuff would necessarily be the parallels.
Maybe
Ravenclaw, I kind of feel like.
I feel like I could see you.
Well, I think Cancer.
Well, based on your results to that quiz earlier, or on last week's show.
Right. I'm not smart enough.
Amanda, you seem like a Gryffindor to me.
Oh, thanks. I like to think I'm brave.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know Cancer. I don't know that much about Cancers, although one of my best friends is a Cancer. So,
yes. So there you go.
I'm an Aquarius. And this is really weird that all five of us are five different
astrology.
That's great.
Yeah.
Such representation.
I know, such a representation.
Colleen and Shandy, your birthdays are kind of close.
Which is, yeah, because we're...
Yes, you're both kind of on the cusp
like
of...
Like 3 weeks apart, and yeah.
No.
So I'm an Aquarius, and I also looked up the traits. Typically smart and independent, a woman who marches to the beat of her own drum, requires the freedom to be who she is, as well as to think and do what she wants. She's typically cool, friendly, eccentric, and unconventional. Strengths include advanced, creative, irrespective, humanitarian. Weaknesses, overtly emotional. Yes. Inability to compromise. I think I've gotten a lot better than that. Hot-tempered. I think that, I think that these traits actually do somewhat describe me fairly well for the most part. The what's the website where you did your
Pottermore
Pottermore thing? I was a Gryffindor.
That sounds Gryffindor. Aquarius
does it sound
does.
Gryffindor? Okay, cool. So
I think yeah,
that works for me.
They nailed it for you, Colleen.
Nailed it. The next question is from Sally. What are your favorite drinking games?
I don't have that many, but. The one that I feel like I've ended up playing the most is King's Cup. And that one, minus the cup part, I don't ever play with that. So if you just play with the cards and that part, then it's fun. That's probably my favorite.
I think that's literally also the only real drinking game I've ever played.
One that my friends and I have gotten really into playing in the last couple of years is baseball. Have any of you ever played that?
Yeah, I don't really remember all the rules, but I've definitely
I never am the person to like teach the game, but I love playing. It's like beer pong, except for there's more rules and there's only three cups. So it's like the three base or four, three or four. It's like the bases.
Four, yeah.
And then you're like shooting down the table with the ball. And if you land in the first one, it's like you went to first base, the second one's second, and you're like trying to advance to the end and get like home runs, I guess. It's very fun. You play it with like a group of six or, you know,
yeah.
You have teams of three or teams of four. My friends and I get really into it. So definitely I enjoy the like drinking game where you can like actually be like moving and not just sitting and like asking questions and stuff. King's Cup is fun, but I kind of like. The movement of a game like beer pong or baseball.
I had completely forgotten that King's Cup existed, but I loved it.
Yeah.
I forget how to play.
Marist was big on drinking games.
I
feel like it was like King's Cup, Beer asshole, con. Which is still oh, one. Asshole, I feel like yeah. whenever I get together with certain groups of like Marist friends, we always play asshole.
I really
beer pong.
I used to play asshole more as just a regular card that. Game. No. Well, you've probably played it as a card game, just not a drinking game.
Yeah.
What is how do you play it?
Well, is it sometimes it's called like Presidents and Assholes, or am I thinking of a different game?
Yeah, no, I think Presidents is its
polite name.
Oh. Yeah, the polite name.
And so like
it's more formal name.
I don't even remember all the rules, but at some point, like you play different rounds, and so then at each round, like you get a different role based on where you like how well you did in the previous round. So you get an advantage if you're the president.
Yeah, you're like trying to get rid of all of your cards.
Oh, okay.
At first.
Oh, I so think like I if have.
You get, yeah, if you get rid of all of your cards first, then you're the president. And then if you're the last one to get rid of all of your cards, you're the asshole. And
oh, okay.
It's America, really. Yeah. So it's like the poor get poorer and the rich get richer.
Yeah.
Right.
Has anybody ever played Cheers to the Governor?
No.
No.
That one is really fun too, and you need no props for that one. So you just go around in a circle and you're counting to, I think, 21 or 23, but there's like a rule for each number. So like when you get to 23, you're supposed to say cheers to the governor, but when you say 7, you're supposed to say 14, but when you say 14, you're supposed to say 7, and then if you mess up the rule, then it starts over and you have to create a new rule for like another number. It's very funny, like the more you play it.
Yeah.
Shandy's like,
I got real stressed out. It comes all over again.
Is there a game?
And then you roll a dice, Shandy, and you find out, are you getting a trap or a...
I was a big fan of Flip Cup. I really like
I was going to say Flip Cup. So that fun, was my yeah. other favorite one.
I really
yeah, like no, I don't like that.
It's stressful, but I love it.
It's one of the few hand-eye coordination games I'm actually very good at.
I'm not good at it.
I didn't love beer pong until I played beer pong with my both of my sisters had college graduation parties, and we played beer pong. So I was on a team with my dad and my uncle and both of my sisters. And like, so until I played beer pong with my family, I was like, this
we
game
also is did this at your graduation party too. Just saying.
Yeah, but I was inside downstairs, wasn't it? And it wasn't as fun because I was all over the place socializing.
Okay.
Did I play it at my graduation party?
Yeah, you super – I thought you did.
Maybe I did. I don't know. But my sisters had it outside. Remember, it rained at my graduation party, didn't it?
Yeah, but not the whole time.
No. I had a fun graduation
We were outside
party.
For part of it.
Everybody slept over my house, didn't they? I forgot that.
That's true.
Yeah. It was like 50
I think that was the first time I had driven that far out onto Long Island. I was like, I didn't realize Long Island was this long.
Yeah, it's long. It's
been driving
island.
For a very long time because I had to go all the way around.
That's why they call it Long Island.
Yeah, it's an island that is long. Anyway, it wasn't until
any of you guys ever played True American?
I've never played it.
No.
One of my roommates loves it.
Game from New Girl. And that I just forgot about that. But I've only played
you can
it.
Play
yeah.
Yeah, I've only played
Apparently
it like
it's really fun.
Once or twice, and it was really fun. But you had to have kind of like we played in these people's garage, and so like there was a lot of you have to have like a lot of room to move around.
Okay.
But it was pretty fun. So
yeah,
that was
so, that's a really fun one.
Awesome.
I remember like King's Cup from high school. But then like I feel like I sort of like missed out on not that I'm like complaining, it's fine, but most of these references go over my head. Because even beer pong, like I forgot about beer pong until you were talking about it. And I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but I remember like when I was a junior in high school, I went to my brothers who were seniors I went to my brothers who are seniors in college to their college graduation, and like we played beer pong, and I remember talking to my cousin the next day and being like, oh my god, so we played this game, like it was so much fun, like it was like on a table and like there were these cups and you threw like this, you know, like ping pong ball into the cups, and she's like, you played beer pong? I was like, oh, I literally thought that they had like invented their game, but because I didn't go to college in the U.S., so like didn't
And you're
experience
also kind of gullible. So if they told you they invented it,
I just came up with
Going
it
back
one
to
night.
Your Pisces roots.
It all comes full circle. Oh, thank you so much, Sally. That was an awesome question. We're going to finish this up with an email from Andy.
All right. Andy writes in, this vaccination in Andy's virginity. Hey, broads, some long-awaited good news. I got my first shot.
Yay. Woo.
Had you not done the virtual baby shower, I probably wouldn't have written in and made it sound like the email we've all been waiting for, only for it to turn out to be me getting the vaccine. I've promised I'd never do an April Fool's joke where I told you I had sex, but in that case, I would have been very careful with my wording to keep my promise. I'm really excited and looking forward to the not too distant future where I can hang out with friends, go to a movie, sit in a restaurant, etc. again. Of course, I'll still be careful, but it really made a huge difference in my outlook since I could get on board. It's night and day compared to a year ago, where we're overwhelmed by doom and gloom. Now I'm starting to think of the fun that we can have again this summer and beyond. And maybe I can finally get to experience something else that begins with VA. Hashtag unvaxxed with hers. Hashtag cancel my virginity, Andy.
One step closer, Andy. One step closer.
One step closer. Well, congratulations on getting your first shot. I hope that you have no side effects, and I hope your second shot goes well. So, indeed. I guess Andy said that he got his yesterday? Is that what he said? I'm sorry. Oh, he didn't say. Okay. So now I guess now the actual question is, will Amanda's baby be born before I or Andy get our first shots? Our second shots.
We shall see.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Take the over-under bet.
I'm going to say yes. Okay. For your sake.
I was going to say yes means which one. I feel like that wasn't a yes or no question.
Yes, for both of us. But okay, will either of us get our second shot? Okay. Thank you, Andy. And again, congratulations. And good use of the cancel culture hashtag. Thanks.
Indeed.
Well, on that note, everybody, it has been an awesome fourth annual. This is the fourth one, right?
Yes.
It's been an awesome fourth annual crossover. We can't wait. We hope that you will come on and still want to hang with us next year.
We will.
But again, thank you. Thank you for giving us your time. We appreciate it. Preemptive congratulations, Amanda, out there.
Thank you. I'm going to need it.
Stay tuned for future announcements about broadcast recording schedule, though. We will make sure that you know if you are on the socials. You can always just send us an email when this comes out, like, hey, when are you doing it? And we'll respond to you. So that's an option, too. But on that note, thank you, though, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. If you have any questions, comments, feedback to anything from today, you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or give us a call, 331-276-2373. Thank you to the patrons, especially the patrons that contribute at a certain level, and that would be Eckhart Rickner, Jack from Tokyo, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to be a patron, you go to patreon.com/JandJack. I think that's about it. Anybody have any last minute thoughts that they want to get out? Speak now or forever hold your peace for the next year.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. It was a lot of fun. And we're always happy to.
Always a pleasure.
It's always fun to see where these.
Loose. Fun to let loose on these.
It's always fun to see where these conversations go.
They do go places. Alice and Martha, why don't you let us know where we can find you guys? Like, you know, it's realweirdsisters.com, but Twitters, anything else you want to share?
Yeah, we are anywhere you listen to podcasts, Real Weird Sisters. We also have an archive feed now for our older book club episodes. So that's Real Weird Sisters, the archive. We're on Twitter @RealWeirdSister, @RealWeirdMartha, @RealWeirdAlice. And anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can find us. So thanks again for having us.
Yes. And on the off chance anybody listening to this doesn't listen to them, it will the link to the website with all of your feeds will be in the show notes. So check that out, too. All right, everybody.
Always good to podcast with family.
Of course. Thanks, Mom.
And what people at home listening don't realize is there has been so many cats that have just wandered on screen over the last half hour. Yes,
yes. Speaking of cute things our kids and pets have done recently.
Right.
It's been like safari. It's great.
It's a boom of food.
Cat safari. Right now, just cat
right
safari.
Now, I have a little cat hat. I'm trying to get it just right.
Aww.
You didn't get it just right.
I can't get it.
Oh, I see it.
Okay. A little lower. There you go. You got it. You nailed it.
One thing I didn't mention is with the cute cat stories. So we set up the Nest Cam to look at the whole like area in my house, like the kitchen, living room, entrance area. And we noticed Zoe living her best cat life while we were gone, like on the counter, on top of the couch. And at one point, at one point, like she was on the couch and it looked like she was about to claw, and we hadn't been home in a day. And I was like, Zoe, get down, stop it. And you just see Kat go like this and just like look and stare at the general direction of the camera, because the Nest Cams talk to you. You can make them talk. Just stared for at least 60 seconds. She was frozen. And I didn't say a word else. I was like, I'm just going to see where this goes. It was pretty funny. Anyway, on that note, everybody, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you for all the feedback. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
My name is Shandy.
My name is Alice.
And I'm Martha.
Peace out, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.